Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably is brought to you in collaboration with Calm, obviously, Dave, obviously, and Murdoch London Barbers.
Hello, lovely to... I was going to say lovely to see you again, but I can't see you because I'm under the duvet recording these intros to try and make sure the sound's all right, so I cannot see you. And to be honest, even if I wasn't under the duvet, I still couldn't see you because it's a podcast. Anyway, welcome back. I hope you have missed us. We have missed you. We have some more episodes of Conversations Against Living Miserably for you. Now, these were all recorded before the world went tits up, when we were allowed to sit in tiny little studios within coffin distance of each other. Those were the days, weren't they? Fond memories there. Anyway, to kick us back off, we are joined today by the wonderful Brett Goldstein. He's a comedian, actor and writer. He wrote on Apple TV's new show Ted Lasso, and he's the host of his own podcast, Films to be Buried With, which is great. You should check that out, but after you've listened to ours. Like, don't turn ours off to go listen to Brett. Listen to ours and then Brett's, please. That would be lovely. Share the love around. On today's episode, we talk about windows of calm, scrubbing your brain, and the journey to being a happy little man boy. Enjoy! Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably, where we are joined today by the lovely Brett Goldstein.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
When I said lovely, you looked as if to be like, is that me?
What have you heard?
Am I the lovely one? This is what I can tell about bringing, like, comedy people in, is nobody is used to compliments.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I'm like oh, they've got a great show, they're a lovely person, they're like, what?
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me to a very small, intense prison to talk about mental health. Yeah.
Sorry about that. It's a daunting room.
And also how your dress, you like blend into the wall.
Yeah, you're like fully like grey. That was deliberate. To make it look like there was a bit more space.
Our first question that we ask everybody is, when was the last time you felt calm? It was a while.
What define calm? What's your definition of calm?
Not feeling like you're gonna die.
Okay, I know what you mean.
Not panicked.
Not panicked.
No.
Okay. Briefly yesterday.
Oh,
Oh my God, I think that's briefly. The closest one we've ever had.
But as in for a 5 minute window.
I do feel like calmness is just a window
yeah.
a lot of the time. Because once you've realised you're calm, I think that's when it's gone.
Mm. Like, oh yeah, it's yeah. like trying to fall asleep. When you try and think about falling asleep, you can't fall asleep.
Exactly.
And it's like you try and think about being calm, it just gets you more stressed about the fact yeah. that you aren't calm.
What yeah. made you calm? Was it just a...
Listen, I do meditating.
Mm.
And occasionally it works. I'd say 1 in 20 times I go, oh, I feel yeah. calm after that.
I was going to try and turn that into a percentage and then quickly realise that I do comedy, not maths.
I think most of the time when I meditate, it's me closing my eyes for 20 minutes going, you fucking idiot, you prick. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, okay. You can't. All right. Get it. But then occasionally you get like a window or something.
Nice.
Of light. And I think I had that yesterday at some point.
Lovely.
But I also, do you know what? Actually, truthfully, I reckon it's this. I have to be fucking exhausted. I think I have to work all the time, work all the time, work all the time. I'm a proper full-on workaholic. And then at some point, it's like I'm like a dog that has to run around in circles before it can sit down. If I've expended all my energy and I'm fully yes. exhausted, then I will have a window of calm.
Oh, nice. So basically, I just need to start running in circles.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'll... Well, I actually did feel quite calm yesterday. I had a very calm day.
Yeah.
Which is very rare for me because I did nothing to do with work.
Oh, nice. Okay.
This is going to sound so tragic, and it's not. I slept on the sofa as a treat.
Which, that's a lovely treat.
Which
yeah.
sounds very much like I'm having relationship difficulties. But, it's because we've got a sofa bed, and our flat is like... The bedrooms are downstairs in like a basement, so it's really cold. So we slept upstairs as a treat. So I had a good night's sleep, and I think that made all the difference because then I woke up feeling good rather than waking up like, oh, I haven't slept and I'm cold and I'm this. Then I went and got waffles.
Wow.
They're good.
Yep.
Oh, I've never really been big on waffles. Didn't put.
Are we talking potato waffles or
sugar waffles?
Oh, sugar waffles.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, they are sugar
waffles. Sweet waffles.
What did you put on the sugar waffle?
I had chicken with them.
Chicken and waffles.
Yeah, chicken and waffles.
You had the best day of your life.
So like already we're off to a good start.
Yeah.
And I went to Wilkinson's and pick and mix was half price. So I got a pick and mix for $1.50, and I was like, oh my god, yeah. it's like the '90s again. This yeah. is amazing. And then I went to the cinema to see Parasite,
bloody
which is great.
Yeah.
Never seen a foreign language film, and I was like, oh my god, it's like reading a book. I'm watching a film. This is amazing. And then I had a cup of tea. What a great day.
Bloody
that's
hell,
the
that's
greatest
amazing.
Day like, I've ever
it's
heard.
The longest time in a while that like, the whole day has been pretty good.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had a day like that.
Yeah. All start off a good night's sleep.
Oh, God.
Two of you on one sofa.
Yeah.
Like
it's like a big like sofa bed.
I was just, you were on a sofa
out.
Bed.
Yeah. Very, very exciting. Mm. We have lived in the flat for a year and only just realised it's a sofa bed. But...
oh, God.
But what, like, a nice... I don't know, it's so depressing. I don't normally have nice full days. Mm. I have a window of the day that's nice or calm. And, I love... It did make us feel yesterday. I was like, maybe I should just be unemployed. Like, I've had a really nice day doing nothing, but...
That's great.
I think it is that thing, though. Like, you find it so hard to treat yourself to just chilling
yeah.
out. And that moment, I can't do it. Because if I take a whole day of trying to relax... then I feel like I've lost a day of productivity and then I get the guilt and the kind of shame yeah. from that. And I just kind of end up lying in bed at the end of the night going, I've wasted another fucking day. I'm doing nothing with my life.
Get yourself on the sofa as a treat.
Yeah. Check it's got a bed in it. You may be in for a surprise.
When was the first time you became aware of mental health being a thing, be it with yourself or with someone else?
Look, here's the thing. I've come a long way in the last 2 years. And I would say that up to then, I was always depressed. But I don't know that I think... When I think back on it, and I have done some stand-up about this, but when I think back on it, I always think I was a fucking miserable child. Like, I was like an old man child. And now I think I've gone backwards, like I'm like Benjamin Button.
Mm-hmm.
And now... I appreciate life so much more and have so much more fun than I ever did as a child. I think as a child, I genuinely thought, oh, life's fucking shit, isn't it? I remember as like being six thinking, oh, the world's pretty terrible. Shit, what's the fucking point? So I don't know if I knew that was that I was a depressed child, but I definitely had a sadness forever. that I guess, I think I knew it wasn't entirely normal,
mm-hmm.
because not everyone else around me was like that. So I guess I did think there was something going on, but I don't know if I just thought, oh, I'm an artist. You're meant to feel that way.
Yeah. I feel like especially if you felt that way since you're young, you almost like you normalise it within yourself.
Yeah. I think I just thought I'm a wrong'un, and I'll use it to make stuff. I always was doing creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think this anymore, but I did used to think you have to be sad to make stuff. Like that's how mm-hmm. all good art is made.
That's such a narrative as well, isn't it? When people romanticise like all the pain. Look at these good things they did when they were in pain. I'm like, yeah, but I bet they could have done good things if they happy too.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Van Gogh hadn't cut his ear off. Loads of sunflowers he would have painted.
Yeah. Yeah.
My interpretation of art.
Yeah. Yes, and now that I have come out the other side, I think, oh, no, you don't have to.
It's probably,
your life could be a lot better.
You can be a happy man boy.
Yeah, be a happy man boy.
What does that 2 years of recovery look like for you?
Well, basically, I think I had rock bottom, as they say. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I was really in a dark place. And I think, you know, I mean, I don't know how dark you want to go, but, you know, I would have ended it all. And
you can tell you're a happy man, boy, because you said that with such a smile. Yeah. It's like, this still feels positive.
Yeah. But then, you know, I think I eventually found the right therapist. And I know that is, it's very difficult because I also know I had the luxury of being able to pay for it. But I was recommended this person, and they're not cheap, so it's difficult because I feel bad for people who can't afford, and I know how difficult it is to find the right person, and I definitely saw the wrong person for a while, and I think I wasted 2 years in therapy with someone that wasn't very good, but I just assumed they were because they were called a therapist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But eventually I was put with this woman, and she is a trauma specialist and does lots of EMDR. Do you know that stuff?
Mm. Yeah, I had my first session of EMDR last week.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, great. How'd you find it?
I'll let you explain. Mm. Well, I'm still recovering from it, to be honest.
Yeah, you think about a trauma. You have a trauma that has affected you, and you focus on it in your head, and you make yourself relive it. You feel it in all your body, and then while you're reliving it, a light is passed from right to left across your eyes, and you follow it with your eyes. And you do this for like a minute, and then you take a pause, and then you do it again. I think it is literally like scrubbing your brain is what it does, and because it turns on your left brain, your right brain, right brain, it sort of dislodges this thing that has been stuck in a loop in your head. And it sounds stupid, but I definitely think it works because I think it has worked for me.
Mm.
And it gives you weird nightmares and stuff the next day. And it's quite exhausting. It's weirdly exhausting.
You're pretty much knackered for like 3 or 4 days after.
Yeah.
Because it's opening up new kind of synapses in your brain that you haven't used like for ages. And then you're kind of got all these, so you get really realistic dreams and nightmares.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't really slept.
Yeah.
As you can probably tell.
Yeah, you look great.
The brain's class, isn't it?
Bun? Yeah.
The brain is just
So weird, yeah.
Do you feel better yet from it? Or?
Yeah, it's like a whole journey of self-discovery that I feel very angry at myself that I haven't come to that conclusion before, but also quite thankful that I have. I've got my next session in a couple of days.
Mm.
We didn't do the light one. We had little vibrating thingies, in our, like you have to hold, so it kind of stimulates different parts of the body and stuff, but it's all... Yeah, we went to some very dark places that I'd obviously blocked out of my brain. And it was
that
just like...
so interesting.
Yeah, and then I came to the office afterwards and everyone just looked at me. I was like pale. Just like, oh, Jesus Christ, what's happening?
Matt's going to come home and find me with a torch, isn't he?
Yeah.
Trying to do it myself.
Yeah, accidentally hypnotise yourself.
Yeah.
No, it's great. If you ever get the... if it's ever offered to you, it's it was primarily, that's it, used to treat PTSD. And then over the last 10, 20 years, they've discovered that it really helps depression and anxiety as well, because it triggers the same areas of the brain. It's amazing.
And you know what else? I'll tell you this, and I've said this on something else, but genuinely, and I would recommend this to everyone, this is free.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that made the biggest difference, I think. And it sounds boring, and it is almost boring to do, but it was doing a top 10 every day was forced to do.
Really?
You had to do it for 30 days,
mm-hmm.
or and on, but I think there's a whole thing of to form a new habit in your brain. Mm. You have to do it for 30 days in a row, and then your brain will form new neural pathways so that then becomes the norm. And it was to write a list of 10 things from your day that you were grateful for or that were wonderful.
Ooh.
And when you're so depressed, it's really hard. It's so hard to do because you think, well, nothing, I've had a terrible day. Hey, man, everything's shit. But if you're forced to, and it can be something tiny like, well, I did see the sun today and I like seeing the sun. That could be number one. And it could be, I let that person go in front of me and I felt, there was a brief tiny moment I felt good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you do that, you force yourself to do that every day. And then it starts to change the way you think, because when you're deeply depressed, all you think is negative thoughts. And if you force yourself to start thinking positive thoughts, even if at first it seems stupid, after 30 days you start going, oh, this is nice, so oh, that's nice, so oh, that's nice. And then suddenly your outlook is fundamentally changed to the positive.
I think I need to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, I think a lot of my sadness comes from I don't like being in London. So I think then what I do is whenever I'm out, it's almost like I look for things to confirm that I don't like. So, like, I'll miss the tube and I'll be like, well, say he's living in London, this is, or someone will push past us and I'm like, see, London, rude, this. And especially when I was, like, really down, it was like I was actively looking for things that would reconfirm that my life was shit and this was shit. Yeah. And, yeah, need to look for little positive
things. And tell you something else, fuck it. All right, well, I'll tell you, like, something I feel quite passionate about now. Here's the thing, right? Groundhog Day. You see Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
So I read a book by the guy who wrote Groundhog Day, and it was an interesting book where he hasn't written anything. He sort of openly admits, I haven't written anything as brilliant as Groundhog Day since. And he was trying to work out, you know, it just came to him, this idea, and he was like, I wonder why it stayed with people for so long, and I don't even think I understood it when I wrote it. At the end of it, he said, the point of Groundhog Day is that his day is exactly the same every day. What happens in his day is entirely up to him. So he has a terrible day and he has he gets into fights with people and he has this and he has that. And he says, that's on him. The circumstances of the day are reset exactly the same every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he has an amazing day at the end of the film, that's entirely down to the choices he makes through the day. And so when people say things, like, it really bothers me when someone goes at 10 a.m., oh, God, it's going to be one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, it will be now.
Mm. You've written it off.
If you choose to have that as something happened this morning and you choose to focus on, well, my day's fucked and everything's negative, then yeah, it will be. But if you go, oh, I tripped over, you know, this bit happened that was annoying. But actually, if you think about it, I had a nice breakfast with my kid. I don't have kids, but kid. You know, whatever the thing is. And this happened and that person made me laugh. And you stack it up. You go, actually, you're having a great day.
Mm.
You fucking idiot.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Is it just training your brain to not be predisposed to go to the worst scenario? Because that's my problem, is that my default setting is miserable.
Yeah.
So I find it so difficult to find that kind of joy. I'm trying my best to try and find that kind of joy or middle ground.
It's work.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
It is. And that's the... Because whenever you read about it, it's like, oh, drink some water and go for some exercise and do some yoga. And it's like, no, you need to completely retrain your brain how to interpret every single situation. And it takes fucking ages and it's miserable work. But I think it's slowly getting there. I'm starting to enjoy things, which is very strange.
I started trying to vocalise when I enjoy... Because I think I'm so quick to be like, oh, I hate this. But now, so yesterday I was like, oh, I've had a nice, like, breakfast. And, oh, I really enjoyed that film, to the point where Matt's like, you don't have to tell me every time you've done something you enjoy. And I was like, no, but it's nice for me to say out loud,
I am having
a nice time.
Yeah.
And it is nice to have a nice time. And even like that, something will be on offer in Tesco. And I'm like, I love it when cheese is on offer. And he's like, stop it now. Like, please stop seeking positives.
Yeah. But it's also gratitude. That is it. Yeah. It's the thing of going, we're so fucking lucky. We really are so lucky. And you forget that because our brains are fucked.
Yeah.
But if you really go like, you know, I get to sit here with you. Like, this is part of our jobs, is that we get to sit in a fucking box and have a chat. And we're going to get paid for it. Like, that's mad. Like, how the luckiest people in the world.
Exactly. Did you find it, like, easy to start opening up? Or was that, like, a little locked box
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Mm-hmm. And I was actually worried about coming on this, but I've obviously gone, nah, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll say it all. Because I guess something that took me a while with stand-up is I did my first hour 5 years in, or 4 years in, and in the first 4 years, I think my stand-up was funny, sure, but wasn't about anything. It was it was almost like a big old defence. It was like, here's some stuff you'll know nothing about me.
Yeah.
And I'm hard and and you won't get through. And I realised watching other people, I was like, the stuff I like to see is when people are sharing something and where people are being honest.
Vulnerability,
So I thought I have to be brave and do the same because otherwise I'm like a voyeur going, oh, I like to see that. I'm not fucking doing it. You know what I mean? So I guess there's that. But then I always think my shows are very honest and stuff. I always go, yeah, I'm still probably holding back some things because it's hard, isn't it?
You also don't want to put like
put everything
out there, because that's very, very vulnerable. And I think I see this on social media a lot, and I maybe used to be guilty of it. You sometimes see people pouring their hearts out, and you want to be like, don't put so much of yourself like out there, because there's the wrong places to channel it into. Should be telling everything to like a medical professional, but like if you're putting it all on stage or all on social media, I never know how helpful that is. I check my Facebook memories every single day, and anything from usually about 2016, 2017, I'm like, oh, delete that. That was that was a big old cry for help, wasn't it?
I think if you've spoken about it with someone professional or spoken about it before, and you're comfortable talking about it, and you know that you can kind of go into the consequences and stuff like that of it, then it's fine. But if it's all very fresh and raw and new for you, you need to very much sit with it before you kind of display it to the world or give it to an audience and stuff, because you need to be able to gauge the reactions.
You need to be able to deal with it. Yeah,
that's really interesting when you're making the show. Is when my first show was about a year I spent in a strip club that my dad bought when he had a midlife crisis, right? And it was a mad time and interesting. I knew it was an interesting story and it had lots of layers to it, but it was also a very dark time. But it was funny and all that stuff. But I remember it took a while in the previews to work it into something that was sort of palatable to an audience, that was funny and accessible. Because there was a preview I did, I remember, I don't know what it was, the fourth preview. And afterwards, a woman hugged me, like big hug, hugged me, and she went, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And I said, you know, it was meant to be a comedy. And she went, was it? And I thought, oh, I need to work on how I'm putting this across, because I don't want an hour of people going, bloody hell. Think about that a lot. I've seen people do shows where I've thought, you're not ready to talk about this. You think you are, but this is very uncomfortable because I feel like I'm babysitting you.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm supposed to help you and I'm just sat in the audience.
It's when you've got the feeling like this could turn, like when you don't trust that they're fully in control and you're like,
It's just making sure that you're honest with yourself and whatever you're discussing, that is, you have to make sure it's a safe space for you to be able to discuss. I don't like the term safe space, but it is that for you, because if you're in front of a crowd of people and you're pouring your heart out and really revealing information that you're not, probably haven't really dealt with yet yourself.
Yeah.
Then it's just, it's going to do far more damage than it is good, because you're just creating more and more anxieties on top of what was already there.
Layers and layers of anxiety.
I also think you've got to be careful, because I have a friend, you probably know them, someone in their family had committed suicide, and they eventually, after many, many years, sort of wrote about it and made it a public piece. But ever since then, people now feel they can talk to them about it. And I think, I don't think they regret doing the piece, but I think sometimes it's a bit like, oh, I didn't want this. I didn't want a daily reminder, and sort of, I'm now the spokesperson for that. And I think that's difficult, that people seem to take your thing as, well, it's out there now, so that's now the thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I can use you as my personal soundbox.
Mm. Well, it's like therapy, isn't it? They use you as a personal therapist. Mm. It's because they relate to your story so much that they feel like they can discuss it with you. And that's great if you're in a position where you can go, right, I'm absolutely fine to listen to you and maybe offer some help. But if you're not in that space and you have, like, when I'm in a really dark place and I wake up and I've got 10 DMs from people that are struggling, it's like, mm-hmm. I really want to fucking help you, but I can barely help myself at the moment. I don't think I'm the right person to contact. And then I'm just honest and I just say that. And it's like, here's the link to Calm, Mind, Samaritans, all that sort of stuff. But at the moment, I'm not in a good enough place to help you, unfortunately.
Exactly.
It's just making sure that you look after yourself.
That's true.
Should we play some anxiety bingo?
Yes, right. Where is
What's
my
this?
Bag? I wanted to make some hot, fresh content for the podcast.
Right.
So I was like, "What? How can you make anxiety fun?" And I was like, let's turn it into a game. So I give you two anxious scenarios, and it's like a would you rather.
Okay.
I think I've done this one, but I like this one. Would you rather be in charge of all the decisions or not be in charge and have the plans change last minute?
That's a great question.
Yes! Why do you look pained?
No, I don't like this question.
I'm sure I've asked this one before, haven't I?
I think so, yeah.
Hang on. So either I'm in charge of everything or I'm in charge of nothing and things keep changing.
Yeah. And you can't control it.
I'm in charge of everything.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Same.
Both of them make us feel sick.
Yeah, no, I hate both.
Yeah. Are you not a decision maker?
Here's the truth. When it comes to work, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like the opposite. In my life, I can't make a single basic decision. But if it's in a job, I'm an absolute nightmare control freak that thinks I know all the... Not know all the answers, but I have a very clear idea of what this should be in.
Yeah.
But at home... I can't choose what fucking breakfast to have.
Yeah, I think I said this. Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Just got me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can't control my own life.
Yeah.
Pick your own cereal. Not your ma.
Yeah.
Oh, final question is if you could go back to your younger self and give yourself some advice on mental health and living without misery, what would you tell yourself?
Do ecstasy sooner.
And for the inevitable when compliance tell us that we can't use that in the podcast.
What do I say to my younger self? Cheer up, son. I'd say, you know, listen, bruv, it's all right. I know you think it's miserable, but it actually isn't. And you should make the most of not having to have a job at the moment. Go and do some stuff. God, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I just remember thinking it was all difficult. But remember, I tell you what, you need time, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Time is a good thing. The more time you have, the more you go, oh, well, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
So big old learning curve. Mm.
I'd say just fucking cheer up and stop being such a miserable cunt. Pull yourself together.
Done. Yeah,
amazing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
That's terrible advice. The ecstasy one in.
That would really upset a kid. Pull yourself together.
That is all from today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Did anyone else pick up on the part of that chat where I'd had a revelation about having such a great, lovely day where I did nothing to do with comedy and I said, maybe I should just be unemployed and do nothing? Oh, the universe was listening to me then, wasn't it? Oh, you want to be unemployed and do nothing, Lauren? Tell you what, I'll just throw a global pandemic at you. God, what a little dickhead I was. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Maybe you've taken some solace from it or something comforting. If you have enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me and Aaron if you could hop and leave us a little review if you haven't already, a nice review, maybe a little rating if you haven't rated our podcast, subscribe, basically all the things the podcast people ask you to do. That is what we are also asking you to do. Tell your friends if you think they'd enjoy it, tell your family, tell your enemies. Tell anyone, as long as you are telling them from a safe, secure, 2 metre COVID-friendly distance. Anyway, thank you so much to Brett for being such a brilliant guest. Thank you to Aaron for being wonderful as always. And of course, lots of love to the team at Dave and Calm for letting us make these podcasts. If you do happen to have a few quid spare as well, you can, of course, donate directly to Calm. They do fantastic work all year round anyway, but especially during this pandemic.
Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully see you next time. Bye, 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 bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell, and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.